With that being said, are you ready?
Indeed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of The Brothers Movie Factory,
Spanky McFarland.
Spanky McFarland is the greatest wrestler of all time. I believe he had the longest reign as world champion in history.
He's a boxing champion.
Boxing champion? Spanky McFarland?
Yeah, actually, that's the real name of Spanky from the Little Rascals.
I'm aware.
Well, it wasn't Spanky, but...
Spanky was his real God-given name.
Yeah, God came down and gave him that name, and the parents are like, I guess we have to.
If you name a child Spanky, is he automatically a badass? Or just like the leader of a gang? Because let's be honest, Little Rascals is a gang. He-Man Woman Haters Club is a gang.
I don't know. I guess our old baseball coach, his name was Spanky, and he taught T-ball.
Was that his real name, though? God-given name, or was that his nickname?
I think the devil came up and gave him that name.
Oh yeah? Is that what it was? Like,
he's like perfectly nice and everything. Yeah, but the devil gave it to him.
Spanky is the devil. yes. But with that being said, yes indeed, I am Ben. Joining me as always, Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, and hey, here we are. 4 years doing the pod, well, fourth year total, 5th year doing the podcast, right? 4 year anniversary of the show,
We've had 4 years completion. We start in September 2018, so now we're entering our fifth season of the show.
Indeed. And with that, we are, you know, meeting here today to kind of just chat, discuss the show and what's been going on, and maybe talking about what we've been getting into recently in terms of what we've been watching, what we've been playing, what we're excited for as the year goes on, and our plans for next month being Halloween spooky season. And so with that being said, would you like to kick things off?
Yes, indeed, because I am the media consumer. You are the babysitter.
And video games.
And video games. We've said many times, how do we prefer to consume our media? Ben over there, obviously, is video games. Me, myself, I consume my media mostly through movies and television. But, yeah, I've seen a slew recently. I'm trying to think of what I've watched recently. I've seen World's End. I watched Hot Fuzz. I watched the 2010 Karate Kid recently. I went to the movie theater over the weekend. And I went to Pandora. Went back to Pandora. I was there.
Did you feel like when you were walking in that you were stepping into a portal? Like, did you feel like you were going back to like 2010 or whenever that movie came out?
2009. No.
I was close.
I felt like I was going to a whole new world.
You felt like you were going to the future because that movie still holds up.
It's not even that it holds up. I think it's just superior to a lot of things we see today. We're talking Avatar, kids. 2009.
Like, oh, I thought you were talking about Pandora bracelets.
Or the movie Pandora.
Indeed.
Oh, that's Pandorum. Never mind.
And that's with Dennis Quaid, and we don't talk about him.
No, but we do talk about the Na'vi. So, yeah, Avatar, highest grossing film of all time, re-released over the weekend. And, I had to go back. I took the lady with me. She had never seen Avatar on the big screen, let alone in 3D. And that's what we got to see it in. They did a 4K remaster, IMAX 3D. And, yeah, man, it was unreal. That movie's 13 years old and looks better than anything we've had in the last 13 years. visually, I'm talking like CGI, like those kind of visual effects.
You saying it looks better than the MCU today?
Yes, easily. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I watched today, just side tangent. I watched that. I've in college, I went through a phase of like I saw superheroed out, and I didn't want to watch any superhero stuff anymore, not Marvel and all that whatnot. And I caught back up for Endgame or Infinity War. I was excited and everything, and I loved it. I loved getting caught back up. I enjoyed everything. Now I'm once again in that slump, as I feel a lot of people are. I think that a lot. I would argue that more people are currently feeling the way I do about Marvel than which is a little not. I don't like to be negative, but I have negative like feelings towards it, and that I just don't want to watch it, which I think is about as negative as you can get towards some form of media of just being like, I don't want to watch it because it doesn't look good. I watched a bunch of videos on Phase 4, like how Phase 4 is going, which I haven't watched much of Phase 4. I've watched probably a quarter, one third of Phase 4. And surprisingly enough, the things that I saw, I was like, man, this CGI looks like junk. Like most of this, like I was watching all the, like, it showed a bunch of She-Hulk clips, which I obviously haven't watched any She-Hulk, but I'm like, man, this looks really bad, like in comparison to like the early days of MCU. And I went back because I was like, maybe I'm looking at it with like nostalgia goggles, but I went back and like, yeah, earlier MCU CGI looked way better.
Yeah, I mean, in She-Hulk's defense, it is a lower budget and less resources, so you're not gonna get as like high quality as you would see in like a movie, like a live action film. Regardless, they should have thought about it differently before. Like, we're gonna make a show with a completely CGI character, and it's just not gonna look too great. Watching the show, because I do watch She-Hulk, it's not that bad. The show itself's okay. It's losing me a bit because I thought they would have gotten to the point by now. They're like 5 or 6 episodes in, and there's like still no plot. They finally, in the closing segments of this last episode, they like hinted at what the plot of the season actually is. But we're like 5 episodes in, you're finally revealing that. Kind of checked out because it's one of those humor riddled shows.
Yeah,
And
that was the thing is I was reading through this and it was like one video I was watching was like I asked the guy what a friend of mine who was like really big into the MCU and loves it what he was thinking of Phase 4 and like what was the plot line of Phase 4 and he said he didn't know. He's like, I honestly don't know what it's leading towards. And then they went through, they're like, you know, if you looked at it now, you'd be like, oh, this Moon Knight guy is gonna face this Kang guy, or is he? Or does this Kang guy even appear again in Phase 4? And what's Loki gonna be doing? Or is he just gonna be gone for until Loki 2? And then what's Doctor Strange doing? He's not the Sorcerer Supreme anymore, so is he not gonna help with certain things? And like everything's just all kind of scatterbrained as opposed to working towards one common thing like the old movies did.
Yeah, I wonder, going back, if we were to watch like the older films in order, if we could also pinpoint like, oh, this is leading to like this is what this whole saga is about. Because I don't think it was.
I mean, they introduced Thanos in the Avengers. We knew that they were all leading to the Avengers, and they introduced Thanos in the Avengers, and then everyone just knew.
It was going to lead to that eventually.
Yeah,
So
so
the
there was.
same could be said for this. We know it's going to lead to Kang eventually, and wouldn't you know it, the next Avengers movie is called Kang Dynasty. So
Yeah.
we know where it's going to go. We know just as much now, if not more, than we did in like a phase one or phase two. I think everyone's looking back
Yeah.
at like Endgame and so on, Infinity War, and being like, oh, this is where it all led to. It all made sense. Like, this one doesn't make sense. Well, we
Yeah.
haven't gotten there yet.
Is the MCU just an anime now? Are we in the filler episodes of the anime?
Yes, we are, absolutely.
The
But how,
sleeve film.
speaking of filler, how the hell did we get from Avatar to
CGI.
CGI? Shit, because I was like, I haven't been watching any Marvel stuff, but I have been watching She-Hulk, and it's okay. I'll catch it on it's easy to watch. They're less than 30 minutes an episode, so they're not much of a commitment, but it is definitely some fluff, and I'm sick of Marvel fluff at this point.
Yeah. You're like, I want this Marvel action. That's also considered Marvel fluff.
Yeah. I watch House of the Dragon, and I don't know. I'm very, like, conflicted on that show. Everyone loves it. It's, like, part of the zeitgeist right now. Like, everyone's watching it and talking about it. It's, like, part of our culture.
Which is funny, because that makes me not want to watch it, because I'm hip.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I would have stopped watching it after episode one. But a couple of my friends, we were going to start getting together and watching it, but it kept getting postponed. The gathering, so I kept watching every week. Like, oh, we might get together next week, so I gotta watch this show.
Are you watching Ring of Power? Rings of Power?
Oh, let me finish off one subject before I bounce the other one. I really disliked the show. Episode one, didn't care for it. I didn't care for it. Then episode two came around, didn't care for it. Not that's bad. It's just like, if I'm going to spend my time watching something, and I would like to enjoy it, I'm just not enjoying it. Yeah. Like a lot of the things that are happening in this show are just familiar territory. And yes, it is a prequel to Game of Thrones. We had 8 seasons of that show. So when the whole plot of this new show is who's going to, you know, sit on the Iron Throne, I'm like, I don't care. I don't care because I ultimately didn't end up caring in Game of Thrones anyway.
That's as funny as people tell me now. They're like, you haven't watched Game of Thrones? I'm like, why would I? No one seemed very happy about the end. I'm like, oh, but it's amazing. I'm like, I'm sure it is, but I know the ending sucks.
It is a great show that has a poor ending, and it does affect my feelings of the rest of the show. Because ultimately, it's like, this is where it leads to. Everything you loved, all the twists and turns that were like, oh, where's this gonna go? We know where it's gonna go, and it is a bit of a bummer. So this show, they're on episode 6, and is it episode 6 or 5? Regardless,
how should I know?
It takes me a while to watch every episode. I don't sit down and watch it on Sunday night. It takes me like all week, and they're only an hour long. They're a little longer.
Good.
Than an
hour. Watch things like me.
Yeah, it's just because I don't get a lot of enjoyment out of watching this show. But this latest episode, I'm like a little over halfway through, and there's a time jump from the last episode. There's a 10-year leap. So that's a little interesting. And now the characters who we had been watching for the past few episodes, when they're like children, teenager kind of characters, and some adult characters that were interesting, now it's 10 years later. What are they doing now? And it's more interesting for me right now. So now you have my attention.
Yeah.
And this is just me. There are people who praise this show and love it and think it's great. Good for you if you like it. Me, Rings of Power. I like that show. I'm only 2 episodes in, though. There's 4 out currently. So we were going to watch tonight, but hey, Ben of the Brothers Movie Factory said let's record this eve, so I put all my plans on hold. But I like that show. For me, it's enjoyable. It's gorgeous to look at. The cinematography is great. The music's by Bear McCreary, so good. That has me hooked. And the theme is by Howard Shore, who did all the music from the old Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
The only thing that's a little like kind of funky about the show is they are creating their own story with this. This is a prequel. This takes place 3,000 years before Frodo ever got the Ring of Power, you know? This is 3,000 years ago. But there are familiar characters, elven characters, like Galadriel, who's played by Cate Blanchett in the, you know, Lord of the Rings trilogy. it's played by a different actress, obviously, here. They kind of take their own liberties with that character. They kind of make her like a warrior elf. Elven warrior. Which Galadriel never was. Whether you're looking at the movies or the books, she was never like this like sword-wielding badass. But I like what they're doing with her in the show. Like, it's an interesting character. And she's great. The actress who plays her is great. So that show's more up my alley, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, House of the Dragon, this is for some people. This is the draw of that show. But it is unnecessarily violent and unnecessarily sexual. And it's just gratuitous with a lot of things. Yeah, like it's just like, what was one of like the big like kind of hooks from Game of Thrones in season one, even episode one, is when you find out the Lannister twins are, you know, they're diddling each other. Yeah. And it was kind of like, holy shit, that's crazy, it's weird, and you know, we're just like not used to that as a society, obviously. And it was shocking. Here we are all these years later in House of the Dragon, and they spoiler alert, but they try to do a thing where this uncle and this niece are gonna start doing each other. They're making out and they're in like a whorehouse, and I was just like, this is unnecessary. And we've seen it already.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Yeah, I just didn't care. Not my cup of Joe.
Yeah.
But like, some of the violence is unnecessary and just there for violence sake. Quick example. This is like a tiny detail, but these are the things apparently it bothered me enough. It is a great scene. And there's a murder that happens and a wedding that happens immediately after. And it's like everyone's distraught, but the wedding had to proceed. And as it's panning out while the bride and groom are taking their vows, everything, it's very like somber and whatever. As it's panning out, there's the blood on the floor still from where the murder just occurred. And it holds there for a bit. And I'm like, it was about to go to credits. I'm like, that's a cool shot. Then out of nowhere, a rat comes crawling in and starts like licking up the blood. I'm like, that's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
You had it all. Like, what is this rat adding to it? Other than it's basically saying like this person's life was nothing. Like, now they're just rat food, which I get it, but it was just a little too much. Too much that for me and my taste.
Heavy hand.
Yeah, I just like, I get you. I got it. That's what the show feels like a lot of the time, is heavy-handed. Thank you for finding that word. Hey. It's just like, we get it. But I'm trying to enjoy this. Like I said, this latest episode's been pretty good so far. Interesting. Like, I see where the characters could be going. It's just like, we're so many episodes in now. Like, I watched all of Cobra Kai season 5 in 3 days. And I would have watched it faster if life just didn't get in the way. That show has me hooked, because every episode, although it's like, I don't know, that show's like an anime. It's like a cartoon almost.
Yeah.
It's a little silly, but I don't know. It's just entertaining and gripping, and like, I'm just there for the characters too. And so fast, like these episodes are the same length as like a House of the Dragon episode. But I just fly through them. Whereas House of the Dragon, it's like a slog for me to get through it. So, I don't know. Yeah, that's another show I watch. Cobra Kai, season 5. Great show. If you're not watching Cobra Kai and you like that kind of stuff, definitely check it out. Especially if you're a fan of the Karate Kid movies. Find your way into Cobra Kai if you haven't already, because it's one of the most popular shows out there. But it is for a reason, because that's just quality stuff.
Yeah, you also watched Stranger Things, as did I somewhat. I didn't finish it yet. I have the last two episodes that are, like, what, 8 hours apiece?
Yeah, just about.
I have those two to watch still. But I
thought you watched the one.
We watched 15 minutes of the one. I personally, I mean, I'm not even being overly critical. I thought that in terms of like story and everything, I thought this season everything was just really boring, and so I was like less intrigued. Like even the, like the Hopper stuff, I wasn't intrigued at all. Like I was reading all these things of like people saying like, oh, this is exciting. Like Hopper, how's Hopper gonna get out of this, or how are they going to like get Eleven, or what's gonna happen to Eleven? I just didn't care. I never like found myself caring. The only character that I really did care about was Eddie Munster. As everyone did, Eddie Munson, as if you would, even then, and like Steve, but even then, there were like plot lines within this season that I didn't care about, like the football or basketball jock Gaston, that was his name. In case those of you who
basketball did watch it. Gaston,
yeah, basketball know. Gaston, he's like, kill the beast. We have to go and kill him. He killed Chrissy, which was my bell. And we're going to kill the beast because we're not safe until he's dead. He'll come stalking you at night. Like, they just literally did that in the show. If they would have broken the song in that scene in, what, the, like, second-to-last episode of part one when he comes in there, it would have made sense. It would have fit. I even thought about it, like, when it happened. Like, I could have edited that in, like, that song, and made them all dance and sing, and it would have felt just as... It would have fit almost better because it would have felt... It would have fit the over-the-top nature that that has. And people could argue, like, oh, they're on edge. They're this. I'm like, no. They're just, like, they think D&D, and I don't care if it, like, back in the 80s, people thought D&D was tied to, like, Satanism. That, like, no. They've been playing D&D throughout, like, the show over the span of, like, what, 6 years, 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, it's just ridiculous to me that, like, that, they're like, the townsfolk are more willing to... say that. Like,
so you're saying that if they did have that mob song, you would have actually been,
yes,
like interested.
Yes.
And yeah,
gotcha. It would have fit better. It would have fit the over the top nature of that scene. I just, because of that, because, and same with my wife, who we've watched every season together, both of us were like, yeah, just, it made it so when the next part came out and everyone's like, oh, it's so good. Like, I'm really can't wait for these last two episodes. And then they came out and both of us were like, it's kind of like you were saying, it is a slog to get through for, like House of the Dragon. It's like a slog for us to get through that and like want to watch it. Whereas with another show that you and I both watched, Only Murders in the Building, that like, we watched an episode a night almost, mm-hmm, once it was coming out, and then, you know, once we caught up, episode a week.
Well, before we jump to that show, I just have a couple comments on Stranger Things, because I think you're the only person that actively watches Stranger Things that hasn't finished this season in the world. I have a couple theories, because this is the darkest of the entire series. Tone-wise, it feels very different also. And I feel like because you had watched every episode, like, yeah, it's been a long time since you've watched the end of part one and now part two. It's been a long gap, but even with part one, you guys didn't binge that. It took you like weeks to watch part one.
Yeah.
So I feel like the time away from each episode definitely made you like less interested, and your own like inner, like, everyone loves this thing, so I don't like it as much. It was definitely taking effect, because this is obviously also one of the most hyped.
Would you really say though that this is the best season? Because I heard that a lot. This is the best season of Stranger Things. Like, truly, it's the best season. Like, I thought the last... I've never binged any of these shows other than the first season. I binged the first season. Outside of that, every show, I mean, it's like a normal show. Like you said, what you just said doesn't technically make sense. It took me weeks to watch it. And so do most shows. Only Murders took me weeks to watch it because, mm-hmm, I had to watch it on a weekly schedule. Season 2 and Season 3, I watched on a weekly schedule because we would watch them one episode a week. And that's basically what we did here. We watched one to two episodes until we were caught up. So really, no, there's maybe a four, maybe the longest gap we saw was maybe a week, which shouldn't be that's not, that shouldn't be, in terms of a TV show. I know that Netflix makes them, they're meant to be binged, but like any TV show, you can still watch them with small gaps. It wasn't like I took a month break and then came back to it. Now, between part three, or part two, rather, to this, but even then, it's, part two is a sequel. It's meant to be, you know, it took, what, a month and a half off, 2 months off, so it's not like, yeah, I'm going to come back and be like, oh, I'm so confused, like... It recaps and everything, so it's...
Yeah, I mean, you owe it to yourself to watch those last two episodes. I know they feel intimidating because it is a total of, like, 4 hours. Because the one episode's, like, an hour and a half, and the other one's 2.5. But that last episode is one of the best episodes in the whole show.
Last movie.
Yeah, and that episode in part one called Dear Billy... Where, you know, Max gets... Yeah, that's one of the best episodes in the whole show. Overall, I don't think it's the best season of the show. It might be, for me, number two or three. It's high up there. Wow, there's only
two or three out of four seasons.
Well, they're all good.
It might be the second to worst, but it's...
They're all good.
I know, you can't say... Yeah, it's just like, everyone's like, oh, this is the best one yet. I'm like, is it the best one yet, or is it just the newest one?
Yeah, it's definitely the newest one, and it was exciting. And
goes without saying.
Yeah, I think season one is probably the best, but I have a soft spot for season three.
I think season three's been the best one. It just in terms of like setting, plot, the finale, all about everything about it was great. Season two was cool, but it had some faults. Like the 11 side plot was kind of boring by the end. Her like kind of going off on her own and everything. Like, season three just felt like it had a really cohesive plot and everything was there. And season four, part of a problem that I had with it is it was so... It was... Don't get me wrong, it's cohesive, so this is going to sound right, but it was so non-cohesive where you were following so many different plot lines that, sure, all kind of related or interconnected in different ways, but it made it not as interesting to me. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what they're doing. It felt more like a chore to keep up with, and I know I'm the only one.
No, you're not the only one, because if you ask me, the, what's his name? I can't quote Finn Wolfhard's character. Yeah. Mike and Will, and, like, the whole California crew. They, like, everything that was going on with that group, I didn't care at all about. Yeah. Then there's... I didn't care about that one. Russia, the whole Russia crew. Yeah. I cared at first, like when Hopper's there and like what's happening with him, and you know, he escapes and then he gets captured again, and then they escape and they have to go back. Like, they don't go anywhere. Nothing happens really. Yeah. It's just like, let's escape and go back, and then you have to escape again. So it was like, we've already seen it, and you're making us sit through it again.
Yeah.
So that was boring. All the 11 stuff, I loved. Loved all that. And then with...
One, which I knew, like, right away, I had a feeling.
Yeah, that reveal was, in my opinion, not good. Didn't make sense. Also, you and I have talked about it. I'm not going to get into it on here. Unless the public demands it, but basically this like little 10-year-old boy who, you know, has all these like evil thoughts about how humanity is a waste and all we're made for is to breed and
consume. I slaughtered them like animals.
Like, you're a 10-year-old boy who has never had like any evil or harm and has exposed to him in his whole life.
He could have been like a sociopath, but even then it's like, it's a little bit of a stretch.
In my mind, I'm like, I think I even said this. I'm like, this kid's only evil because the writer said he was. Yeah. Like, you know, it didn't convince me. And he's like the most evil thing ever. And also a knock on the show, when one does get like sent into the Upside Down, or the Big Bang of the Upside Down, whatever you want to call it. Those visual effects of him getting struck by lightning, some of the worst I've ever seen.
It was funny because, like, we're watching that, and, like, the wife was so confused. She was like, wait, so what happened? I was like, He's Vecna. She's like, what? I'm like, he's like, she sent him in there, and now he's the guy that's been, like, kind of terrorizing them. And she's like, oh, how did he get all burnt up? I'm like, he got struck, didn't you? What? Like, he got struck by lightning. Yeah. She's like, why didn't he look the same? I'm like, because he literally got, like, burnt and shit and altered and whatnot. But even then, it's a little bit of a stretch. But, yeah, Stranger Things. Anyways, I like that we said that we wanted this to be a shorter episode, but here we are.
How long are we sitting?
30 minutes, so we're not doing bad, but we wanted it to be 30 minutes total, and here we are.
Well, here we are.
Only Murders.
Now we got to talk about a show that's just, like, a joy to watch. Yeah,
Only Murders in the Building, highly recommend. My wife and I watched the first season, and then we convinced you and the lady to watch it. It does so many cool things throughout, which is like anything. There's nothing in it that's like mind blowing television slash like anything new. Like, right, there's nothing in it necessarily that's any. But they experiment with things a lot of times, or they film it in a way, and their humor is like very. I don't even know how to put it. It's not like hit you over the head funny, but it's the characters. And the development of the characters makes the comedy. And so as you get further into the show and meet the characters more and more and more, the jokes or the moments of comedy land better. And you do care about the three main characters quite a bit. Whether it's Martin Short's character, Steve Martin's character, Selena Gomez's character. Like, you do care about them quite a bit. And for those of you who don't know, it's a Hulu show. I think it's on Disney Plus now as well. But I could be lying. I know that was something that my wife had actually told me was happening, but then it didn't.
I think that show's a little too adult to be on.
There's an Disney adult Plus. Wing of Disney Plus now.
Yeah, it's called Hulu.
No, there's legit. Didn't you know this?
Yeah, I did, but I don't think it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Regardless, yeah, it's
an example of the humor you're talking about, like. Martin Short's character, he has this thing with dips, like food dips, party dips. And at first it's kind of like, really annoying. It's kind of annoying. It's like set up, it is a joke, but it's like not a funny one. But as the show progresses, and even into season two, anytime he's like going for a dip or gathers some dips, you're like, classic.
Like, there's a moment in the final episode where they're like, or not final episode, second season toward the end, where like they are in a hurry to do something, and this guy, like, they're at a restaurant, and this guy brings out all these bags of dip, and he's like, hey, do you want these dips? They're gonna go bad if I don't get rid of them. And he like has a moment of like decision panic, and it's very good.
It's good stuff.
And
great show, great. It's like clever mm-hmm. murder mystery stuff. Done by greats like Steve Martin, Martin Short, and crew. So I always recommend that one out. I won't get into it too much, but I also watched the show Severance. It was nominated for, 14 Emmys. And it was great. Like, it's a very unique idea. You go to work, something in your brain gets triggered, and you become like a different person. You become your work persona, and you have no recollection of your life.
Say it right.
Your work persona 5.
Yeah.
What?
Royal. I was gonna say, like, say it like Joker would say, like, persona.
Yeah. And yeah, your work persona has no knowledge of your life outside of work, and vice versa. So, for example, your work persona only knows work, because that's anytime you go to work, you just like wake up at work. So when you leave work, you get to live a life, you get to go to bed, you get to wake up, you get to go back to work, but the work persona is only at work. And ultimately, these two characters, they're the same person, but these characters are like, what's actually going on where I work? Like, what do we do? And then the person outside is like, what do I do there? And like, kind of a mystery unfolds. And I thought the show would wrap up in the first season. It was announced with the season 2 before I even started watching it. So I'm watching it like, How is this gonna have a season two? Because I really think it's gonna wrap up in this final episode. And that final episode of season one is as good of any finale of any show I've ever seen. It's incredible. And the closing moments is like, oh, that's how you have season two.
Yeah.
It's a great show. Apple TV, check it out.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, I know you've watched plenty of movies and plenty of TV shows and whatnot. I obviously do not watch many TV shows. I went on a bit of a nostalgia hike when the child was born. I watched a lot of, like, older cartoons, whether it was, like, Jimmy Neutron or SpongeBob. I watched a lot of SpongeBob early on. Fairly Odd Parents and what have you. I watched a lot of American Dad. I watched through pretty much every season of American Dad. Which I hadn't watched since college, that was fun to go back through. But really, the biggest thing, the newest thing that I watched was Hunter Hunter, and I'm 50 episodes in, and I've been taking a bit of a hiatus from it, just because I haven't really been in the mood to watch it. I watched a lot of Slice of Life animes throughout the year, Komi Can't Communicate, and Toradora, which was probably one of my favorite animes now. I watched it twice in a month. I'll probably watch it again because it's a Christmas anime. All in all, yeah, I mean, as you said at the start, I am more of a video game person. I just tied my most played amount of games in a year. So my original record was 20 games in a year I played during COVID. I dubbed that year the year of COVID, top games of 2020. I beat 20 games. That was the year of COVID. And then 2021 was the year of post-COVID. This new year, 2022, has been dubbed the year of remakes and oldies. I've been titling my years. And as of right now, I am at 20 games beat on the year, and the majority of them are old games or remakes. Interesting enough, I went through this list of all the games that are new. So if I went through, like, Trails in the Sky, second chapter is my, I'll rank that, this is my rank, like, 1 through 20. Trails in the Sky, second chapter, that was a PSP game. Then you have Tales of Arise, beat that on PS5, Live Alive, Nintendo Switch, but that's a remake of a game that came out in the 90s. Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, it's a Switch game, but it's a remake or a remaster of a game that was for the Wii. Trails in the Sky, first chapter, that's a PSP game. Assassin's Creed 2, 360 game. Legends of the Twilight Princess, a Wii game. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, 360 game. Shadow of the Colossus, PS2 game. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, beat that on PS5, but it was a PS4 game. The Artful Escape, that is an indie game that's new. Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes, that is a new Switch game. Uncharted Drake's Fortune, PS3 game. Horizon Zero Dawn, PS4 game. Banjo-Kazooie, N64 game. Portal, PC, older PC / 360 game. Civilization Revolution, 360 game. Stray, new game. Batman Arkham Asylum, 360 and PS3 game. And Peggle 2, 360 game. So I only beat like four out of the 20 games. Only like four or five of them were new games. The rest were old games that were maybe remakes or oldies. So hence the name, the year of remakes and oldies.
Quite the trip.
Yeah, and I'm definitely gonna beat it all. I'm gonna beat my record at least because I'm close, about halfway, maybe 2/3 of the way through the game I'm playing now, and then I'm going to play Assassin's Creed Revelations next. I've been playing through the Assassin's Creed Ezio Collection, so I'm going to play Revelations next. That's a short one. That's like 12 and a half hours to beat, which is like a day for me. After that, I just got the next game in a series, Trails from Zero, which I'm looking forward to beating and playing through. That's like a 40-hour game. That'll take me some time. But then outside of that, like, I have a billion games to play that I want to get through and try out and see what I can do with it, if I can beat it. But I definitely should. I mean, I have, what, 3 more months to beat one game to break the record. So I'll definitely break the record. Yeah.
Definitely not beating my record this year. Last year, I beat the most video games in a year I ever have in my life, and that was 30. I beat 30 last year. This year, I have beat a grand total of 5.
Yeah.
5 games this whole entire year.
Busy year. And different
been busy.
Like, it's been busy for me, but I've been stuck at home with the baby, whereas like you have been busy in many different ways.
Yeah, I've had a busy year, and just the itch hasn't been there either. You know, what interests me in a game this year has been casual. Like what can I just sit and not concentrate on at all? So
much
like
to my detriment.
Like the 2 real games I beat this year are 6-hour games.
You beat Skyward Sword.
I gotta add that to the list.
Yeah,
I didn't have that here.
Yeah, you beat Skyward Sword. I was gonna say
yes. That took me a long time though.
Yeah, it took me like 25 plus hours, I think.
Well, it took me that amount of hours, but it took me like four or five months.
Yeah.
To actually beat it. Like Metroid Dread's like 6 hours. Bayonetta 2 is like 4 hours. Skyward Sword, yeah, I forgot about that. But then like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, like beat that in like 5 hours. I play a lot of like that damn Yu-Gi-Oh game that I mentioned. Like I really just started playing that this year, right? So this is the cause of all of it. That's like the only game I play, and I've put in like 130 hours into that game this year.
You're a monster. Meanwhile, yeah. You're like, I put 16 hours into Persona 4. It's Dragon. I'm like, jeez.
It is. It's not, there's no blue eyes, white dragons in that game. But, you know, just to wrap it up here, we're talking media and how we consume it. A big part of our lives is anime, and one of our favorite anime shows is going to be picking up here pretty soon with season 6 of My Hero Academia, so I'm sure you'll be watching that.
I will be. What's funny about that is you'll be watching it before me, which is usually what happens with most things. Real quick, just side note, you haven't watched any Andor yet, have you?
No, I honestly keep forgetting that's on.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? Like, people have been saying it's, like, one of the best shows yet, and, like, my other buddy who, like, watches all the Star Wars content, usually right with me, hasn't started it either. And, like, I loved Obi-Wan. I had no problems with Obi-Wan whatsoever. I really enjoyed it. And so you'd think I'd be, like, all over Andor, and I just haven't. Like, they released, like, 3 episodes right off the bat, too, and I was like, I gotta watch these. I'm like, yeah, I'll get to them.
Yeah, it looks really good. I feel like I'm waiting for it to finish and then I'll watch it, which I don't usually say, but I haven't jumped at it. Another show I've been really wanting to watch is that Sandman show on Netflix. Haven't started it.
Yeah, but there's too much media. But that going back to My Hero, that's what like usually happens is you watch it. Do you you watch it subbed, don't you?
No,
dub. You watch the simul dub. You watch as it comes out. And then I watch it usually after it's done. The problem with that, I think I'm really going to try and watch the simul dub this time around, because I do this thing where it gets overhyped. Like, you were telling me, like, oh, this season is so good. It's one of the best. There's some of the best moments with, like, Deku and Bakugo and Todoroki. And then I got to those moments. I'm like, they weren't, like, crazy good. They were good. Take it from someone who watches the good moments a billion times in a row.
This is the best. Season 5 is the best season of the whole show. Easily. Overall.
I'd argue season 3 is really good. That's the that's the one where they're at the camp, and then you have the All Might versus One for All fight, or One for All versus All for One fight. It has a lot of good stuff in it. This season was good. The thing I loved the best about season 5 was the villain stuff. Seeing the villains develop, it honestly focused way more on the villains than it did on the good guys, which I really enjoyed quite a bit.
I think that's why I think it's the best season, because it had both, but it definitely like felt different without feeling. It felt different without being different, in that we got something new that was familiar.
Yeah. I'm ready for Midoriya to be a badass, though. Like, I've been ready for him to be a badass since the beginning.
That'll, then the show's over. That's the problem with this, with these animes.
Yeah, like, I'm ready for him just to be the best. You know, he told me in the very first episode, this is a story about how I became the world's number one hero. All right,
he's like a freshman in his school.
No, he's like a second year. There's only three years in Japanese school.
So he has to go through the school, and then after school, and then, you know, All Might just wasn't, like, straight out of school, like, I'm the number one hero. Took a little time.
Yeah, I'm ready for it, like... Ready, and I think we're getting there. I know that this next arc is considered the beginning of the end. It's like the start the start of like the lead in, which, you know, could be 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 seasons. Who knows? I am looking forward to it. I've been rewatching a lot of the old clips of it. Obviously, out of anime, my most anticipated is Attack on Titan and finishing that. That's why, like, that's kind of where I got it. Was because I hyped up Attack on Titan a lot to my one buddy that watched it, and then he watched it season 4, part 2, and he's like, "Hey, it was good. It wasn't like there were like he loved like certain moments, and I like really hyped up the very end, and then he watched the very end. He's like, yeah, it wasn't as good as like the big fight scenes that were happening right before it. And I'm like, I overhyped it.
I think it was a wrong
opinion, but
he's wrong.
Yeah.
So we got that coming up in October. For us in October, got October Spooky Month. And next episode, we're going to finally dive into a nostalgic 90s classic spooky film with Hocus Pocus. Cool. We got Hocus Pocus 2 coming out on the 30th of September. So next time you hear from us, we're going to be talking about the original and most likely our opinion on the sequel. If we both got around to watching at the time of recording, I'm assuming we will, or at least one of us will.
No, I bet I will. I bet I will watch it this weekend because I don't think it's going to be too long. And that's one that I'll just sit down and watch with the wife. So,
So get that one through. Thank you all for listening in for these past 4 years. Here we go, entering our fifth year. We got our favorite spooky month coming up here.
Sounds good. As Gus said, thank you all for listening. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check in on us over at Twitter. We're at the Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting links to the show, clips of the show, and memes Gus makes. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Hey, go to Facebook, type in the Brothers Movie Factory. You'll find us there. I like to make memes of what we're watching each and every week, and I include links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audio Boom, Spotify, Twitter, and at.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it, but until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers.